Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here we are in Advent, in the Advent season, anticipating the birth of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about the names that He has. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Well, today we're going to talk about the God who heals. If you listen often enough, you know I have Dr. Troy Spurl on every month for healthy living, for the healing process. We take your questions. But also, you know, I've got another doctor friend, Dr. Tom Blee, who's a great, great man of faith, a good friend. I love him. And he's a good friend of the show as well. Well, these two guys were in studio, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, and they became fast friends, which is, I knew that would happen. I'm so grateful. Well, today, they're here today. We're going to explore the Christmas story and the idea that Jesus is also the God who heals. We're going to unpack what happened when the wise men brought gifts and what are the significance of those gifts. We'll also hear some amazing stories of how God, you know, these two guys are wise men and they seek Him and God brings wisdom to them as they're trying to solve problems for people. You know, I want you to think about this. You follow Jesus through the Gospels. He always cared about the human condition. He addressed the human condition. And I love that God has raised up some men and women of faith to address the human condition. And these two, it's just amazing to me. One works in the functional medicine world, the other in trauma, in the ER, trauma surgeon. It is just amazing how God works through them both. We'll also have time to take some calls if you've got questions in the second half of the show. I want you to know, though, we're giving away 10 books today, 5 copies. It's a hardcover book titled Advent, The Story of Christmas by Sherry Craig. Thank you to the publisher for that. And 5 copies of Dr. Tom Blee's book, How to Save a Surgeon, Stories of Impossible Healing. You will hold your breath while you're reading this book. There's so many impossible stories and how God intervenes in these. Oh, my word. You will love it. So we've got 10. So you have to maybe, Kim, are they able when they sign up through the link to say which book they're interested in?
Yep. Part of the information that they fill in is what resource are you going after? So
okay,
you can answer that question.
That's perfect because we're giving books away every day. So if you're interested in the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Text the word book. It'll kick back a response, a link, and it'll take you just a minute to sign up. In that case, you would just identify which book you're interested in. The Advent book, The Story of Christmas, or How to Save a Surgeon. You could even say Dr. Tom Blee if that's easier for you. Quick announcement before I get these guys on. I want to say thank you to everybody who showed up in just such an amazing way at our Winter Share campaign. There is still time to give if you haven't. We would love to hear from you. The same number we give for the book drawing, we still have the giving link live and active. Just text the word give and it'll kick back a link, a different link to you, 877-933-2484. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He loves God and he's passionate about health and the healing process. Dr. Tom Blee is a trauma surgeon in St. Paul and is the creator and co-director of Life Team, a hospital-based intervention program which brings transformational change to those caught in cycles of violence and despair. This is one time I'll talk with you guys at the same time. Welcome!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love having you both on so much, and it's such a treat to have you here together. Well, we start talking scripture, as you know, Dr. Troy. So what do you have for us today?
I'm reading from Philippians 4:18. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God.
Talk about that.
Well, this is when Paul was in prison, and he was just very, very thankful for the gifts that were sent to him. And the fragrant offering is a little bit of what we're talking about here as far as the oils that were given to him. And just how during his suffering, this just was one of the things that lifted him up, which also pleases God.
Amen. And our whole life is supposed to be a fragrant offering, and it is when we surrender and submit to him and just offer ourselves up. It's a pleasing sent to the Lord. I think that's so powerful. How about you, Dr. Tom?
So I brought the story.
Yeah.
I brought the story from Matthew. It's condensed a little bit. Chapter 2, verses 1-3 and 10-11. And I'm fighting trifocals through the microphone here. So, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold the wise men from the east of Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we've come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, as was all of Jerusalem. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh."
Now, this really jumped out at you. You know, Dr. Troy and I are just along for the ride today. Dr. Tom, you're leading the way with this. No, really, I think God gave you something here. As a surgeon, as a man of faith, you read this passage and you saw it in a fresh light. So talk to us about that.
Correct. I think I started bothering you about a year ago with this. And
it was never a bother, but today's the day.
Poking your brain, right.
Yeah.
And I think as we move through these walks and we try to go through healing and we all are encounter people we counsel and so on. And when you look at getting into the Word and learning what this Bible is all about, you have to grab it as who you are. Christ will come to you as the person you are. So obviously I was grabbed as a physician. And I don't know how many times I went into the Bible and said, "Oh, physician, heal thyself." And Luke is a doctor who wrote that and so on. But this story from the healing aspect with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I started to explore, well, what do those gifts really mean to me as a physician? And as I got more and more into it, I was fascinated about how they were ubiquitous and commodities and powerful healing. And then I started to hear you guys on the show and listened more and more, and I thought, oh, maybe this is an avenue where we can explore this more. We're in the Christmas season. We know this child is being born who's our Savior, but when Jesus comes to different people in different ways, there is an aspect where he's our healer too. And that was my, that's the idea I threw out there.
I love it. Yeah. It is amazing how ideas have to be seasoned for a while. And I just think today is the day to talk about this. What did you learn about gold, frankincense, and myrrh as far as healing goes?
Well, so when Dr. Troy, we talked about this, and the end of the story is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then part of the first part was, what about even the wise men, I think? Because it's labeled as three wise men and probably for three gifts. And there's all kinds of, you know, I'm not a biblical scholar and things, and I did a lot of reading and research. But what struck me was, if you even dig into the wise men, this was a big deal. The wise men weren't probably three people that traveled. May have been kings, may have been royalty, may have been astronomers, astrologers, who knows. But these people, when they traveled, didn't come as three people. They came with an army for protection. It was probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people representing the wise men to come see this
child.
Imagine
that. That right. Changes the story even, you know, the picture of what that must have looked like, you know?
And so when I read that, I'm like, okay, so if and they were probably, if they were truly astrologers or astronomers, they were waiting 600 to 700 years for this event. This had been told in tradition and studied, and everyone was waiting. And when it finally happened, how do you choose the gifts to bring? Could have brought anything. But why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? And there's representations of what those mean. Gold for royalty and frankincense and myrrh. One represents suffering and embalming and the death that he would face and so on. But it also represents the powerful healing tools they had of the time. And some people say, well, did they come when Christ was just born? Maybe this was part of the birth process. Are these used to treat, you know, umbilical cord and all the things associated with birth and health and so on? And if he was really born in a manger and not in a hospital, you know, is that the protection of this child that was born? And some say, no, he might have been up to 2 years old, because King Herod said, you know, death to everyone, every child 2 years or younger. And were these trading tools? Because soon after, the wise men, then Mary and Joseph fled, and it's like, well, here's tools of health for your trip. Here's gold to buy your way. So there's that part of it. And then again, if I dug deeper, I'm like, in my world of medicine and the things I do, there's something missing. And that's what's been fascinating as I got to know Dr. Troy. That functional component is gone from a surgeon anatomy. And that's when I started digging in and say, well, no, there's even more power to these three tools of healing. And that's why I asked Dr. Troy to bring those details.
That is amazing. You know, I want to pause here. When we come back, Dr. Troy, maybe you, from a functional perspective, unpack what you learned about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I love the challenge, and I love, Dr. Tom, that you kind of held our feet to the fire saying, this idea is not going away from me. I love it because there's something here that God wants us to know. What I also love that when somebody in traditional medicine is such a humble person. Dr. Jimmy Ching is the same way. Another friend, he's a doctor who treated me and introduced Dr. Troy and they became fast friends. I just think it takes humility to go, there's more than what I know in my lane. And I just wondered, Dr. Tom, what that's going to mean for you as far as God just broadens your practice. You know, I just honor that you honor that. Because I think so often, Dr. Troy, I'm sure you get the eye rolls from people who just... from people in traditional medicine who don't understand at all what you do.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
You know how to deal with the eye roll. It just rolls off like a water on a duck's back.
That's
but
right.
Still, it's a bummer. So I just love when you honor the gift of God in this man. So when we come back, we'll talk about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm just thrilled. I love giving stuff away. And we've got 10 books to give away. We've got a beautiful hardcover Advent book. And we've got Dr. Tom Blee's book, which honestly will blow your mind, How to Save a Surgeon, Stories of Impossible Healing, 5 copies there. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got questions or comments, you can text those separately. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. The gift God has given us by sending us his precious son, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Imagine Jesus stepped off the throne and entered into the womb of a teenage girl so we could be saved, so we could live free, healed, whole lives. Absolutely amazing. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I have two of my favorite people on the planet in studio today. Dr. Troy Spurl, who joins me every month for health and the healing process. Dr. Tom Blee, who joins us every once in a while. I'd love to get him on even more often. Dr. Tom Blee is a trauma surgeon. Dr. Troy is a functional medicine doctor. And they've become good friends, and I'm so thrilled about that. Together, we're looking at the Christmas story of Jesus' birth and these wise men who brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And we're going to talk about the healing capacities, just the interesting, you know, nature of these gifts. Talk about the God who heals. I do have 10 books to give away. I'm so thrilled about that. 5 copies of an Advent book, a beautiful hardcover Advent book. 5 copies of Dr. Tom Blee's book. You want in on the drawing? Text the word book to 877-933-2484. When you get the kickback link, fill it out, and you just make a reference to which book you would like. And Dr. Troy, talk to us. What have you learned about the significance of the gifts that the wise men brought?
So I absolutely love this. I am looking at it. One of my favorite things is to look at things with intent of speaking here. I've learned so much since being able to come here on the show because I look at it with the intent of, with just a little bit more of how am I going to teach this or how am I going to say it? So what that does, it causes me to look at it a little bit deeper and it's kind of changing how I just read my daily scripture as well because it... I don't know. So if you're out there and you're reading things, pretend you have to come on Susie's show and talk about
perfect.
It. And then it actually has a deeper level.
Then you own it, right?
Yes, that's right. So we'll see how that works for people.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at it, the first thing that struck me was that, Tom was saying, when this big event occurs, what they brought to him just kind of blows me away. And being in the field that I'm in, it was just an uplifting thing to look at it and say, okay, this is needed for healing. This is needed for protection. And so that's what they thought would be the best gift at this time for our Savior is something that helps protect him and it's going to keep him on the healing path.
Hmm.
And when we look at the oils in particular, frankincense is unbelievable as far as what it just does in our body. And there's texts from a long time ago, even in the Egyptians had it as something that helps with the mind and the gout of the toe, which basically is another way of saying it helps you from head to toe.
I love it.
And it's something that we've used now and have broken down some of the properties of it. as far as what it can do. And it can help with anything from, it's an antimicrobial, it's an antifungal. It helps the elasticity of the skin. It actually fills in some of the wrinkles. So there's an anti-aging, or as I like to say, aging gracefully component to it. The skin is part of our immune system. It's an immune stimulant. And so it helps protect against infection. It helps to heal as well. But just oils in general, our body is made up of a lot of them. And the oils help with communication. It also helps with the foundation of our cells. All of our cells have fatty lipids that make up the walls of the cells. And then how we actually communicate within the cell with liposomal transport vehicles and vesicles, not vehicles. There's no like little Porsches driving in your cells or anything like that. But it's a form of communication. And in functional medicine, we look at dysfunction as a breakdown in communication. Mm. And if you can restore function and proper communication, then that's how you restore healing, God's innate design for healing. And so if there's a breakdown in communication from cell to cell, or from brain to body, or from person to God, or from person to person, there's going to be some level of dysfunction that turns into a symptom, that turns into a disease.
Pause right there.
Yes.
If there's a breakdown in communication within the body, there's a breakdown in connection with the Lord, a breakdown even person to person, there are physiological implications.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yes. And that's why the premise of functional medicine is to first identify at the best level you can measure where the breakdown in communication is occurring, and then restore that communication as best you can. And with the oils in particular, we know that they help with communication with hormones, from cell to cell. And so there's a lot of restorative properties there. And then just scripturally, in Genesis, it talks about how these are God-breathed words about how he put these trees and plants. And that's where the oils come from, is the trees and plants. So God-breathed words help us, and he gave us the things we need to help restore communication so that we can operate better to be able to better communicate with God as well. So
amazing.
It just helps restore that natural, innate God healing that we have. And I find that is absolutely fascinating, that's what they gave him as a gift, an antimicrobial, antifungal, God-healing plant oil.
Wow. And frankincense, I heard also has kind of this, I can't remember, I'm going to say it wrong and I might get an email, so say it right. But the sense of your connection with the Heavenly Father, basically. There's something about frankincense that, you know, I can't remember, I'll say it wrong.
Well, help it with anxiety, yeah. And it does actually have an impact on the DNA as well. So there's a lot there, but generally my two cents is it just helps overall with improving communication. So you find out a little bit more about what's going on with your body. So if you do try frankincense and you have a negative reaction to it, it's killing something off, or it's restoring communication of what's wrong internally. Mm. As you clean that up, then that in general will help with your communication to God, just being able to receive and communicate freely.
So, you know, where I'm coming from with this father thing is I heard somewhere that in a home where they were helping women recover from human trafficking who had male issues and father issues, they would massage their feet with frankincense and just the scent of it. And they would pray that God would heal their connection to the father and heal their image of man. And I just thought that's so beautiful. And you know, how about myrrh? What do you know about myrrh?
So myrrh is another oil that works pretty much the same way. A lot of anti-aging properties, a lot of antimicrobial properties. And when you disperse it in the air, it's cleaning the environment of the air. It helps with mood. There are actually a lot of hospitals that they're dispensing it. And you can put it in as through the air and dispense it that way with the diffusers. You can... and they did this back in the churches and back in the homes. They've been doing this for thousands of years. Hmm. And so they were cleaning their environment by dispersing it in the air. You can also put it on your skin and do it topically, and you can ingest it. So both of those work, all three of those work, and they've been using that for a long time. Interestingly, myrrh actually has been shown to increase the hormone MSH, which I'm thinking you know the connection or don't know the connection there.
I don't.
Okay.
I should.
MSH decreases when you have mold exposure and mold toxicity.
Wow.
It's the hormone that then influences the digestive tract and a bunch of other hormones. So
interesting.
Myrrh has been shown to actually bring that back up to the normal levels. And
very
so
good.
It improves our hormone status, especially MSH, but that, as we say, is, gets compromised with a lot of our environmental fungal mold stuff. So there are things that have been there for a long time that we can use. And these oils generally come from Africa and the Arab nations over there from the trees and some of the plants. But myrrh in particular is really good for the oral health as well, the bacteria. And so if you have frankincense will do this too, actually. But if you have ulcers or problems within mouth sores, then frankincense and myrrh work really well for the oral health and restoring that barrier system.
So this frankincense and myrrh, you know, helping them along in the journey, keeping them healthy. What about the gold? Is that, I mean, is it obvious application provision or is there more to it than that?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just pointed to Tom and said, okay, you got this one.
That's radio. Yeah. Tossing it to you, buddy.
From my research in what I'm reading, I mean, the gold has to do with heat and the generation of temperatures and changing moods and things and acupuncture. There's difference between gold needles, silver needles. Biblically in the story, too, the question was the gold, did it represent royalty? Was it a payment or is there still healing? And we use it anti-inflammatory. We use it in chronic arthritis and processes like that.
Use gold?
Gold, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's blatant gold treatments for rheumatoid arthritis and so on because,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial. So all three of them help fight off infection in some way. And then gold can just pay for a lot of things too.
Yeah,
so,
right. Well, you know, you think about these wise men coming in with their entourage, this royalty, to a stable, you know, where the baby's lying in a trough. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine that, you know, that's mind-blowing. And their humility to come and then to present these gifts. I mean, God knowing that this baby was born into poverty. These are things they otherwise probably wouldn't have access to, I would imagine, if they're, you know, born into if the baby's born into poverty. This is a teenage girl, a young man, and God bringing this provision for the journey ahead. And also, as you said, Tom, just being symbolic of his death, his burial, his resurrection, the fact that he's royalty. There's so much more to the story than we can possibly imagine. Well, when we come back on the other side, I want a personal question for both of you is, as you know, you're men of faith, you're Christians first who happen to be doctors. As you walk intimately with God and as you just are his son first, you know, how has your walk with the Lord informed your work with patients? How has the Holy Spirit impacted the direction you take? And then we'll maybe hear some stories. As I mentioned, we'll take a few calls, but we still need a few minutes just to finish up this conversation. Susie Larson here. This is Middays, talking to Dr. Troy and Dr. Tom, having a great conversation around the Christmas story. We do have 10 books to give away. I'm so thrilled about that. So if you want in on one of the books, we have an Advent book and Dr. Tom Blee's book, Stories of Impossible Healing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Those lyrics sunk in. We will never face life alone. God has sent us his own son as a father and a friend. Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that just amazing? I pray that you're not so wrapped up in the hustle bustle of the rat race that you miss the sacred race, because God sent his son. We're celebrating Jesus and he came to heal, to restore, to redeem, to save. Wow, what an amazing thing. I'm Susie Larson. This is Middays, and I've got two really of my favorite people in studio today. Dr. Troy, who you hear every month on this show, Dr. Tom Blee, trauma surgeon. Also, these guys have become fast friends, and together we're looking at the Christmas story, what the wise men brought to Jesus, to Mary, to Joseph, frankincense, gold, myrrh, and we've been talking about the significance. If you just tuned in, you'll have to go back and catch it because it was fantastic. My next question for you guys is, just as men of faith who love Jesus, in your personal life, you walk with God, but in your professional life, you're seeing sick people all of the time and major trauma. How does your walk with God, Jesus, and what you're learning about Jesus impact how you show up with your patients? How about you, Dr. Troy?
It influences me quite a bit, and I also have to say it's a learning. There's a learning curve there because I was not as comfortable now or back then as I am now as far as just sharing my faith. So when I became a believer, it didn't really enter into my clinic setting right away. I would pray at home, and I would actually be given information, and in the moment, I would just try and be with the patient 100%. And what I have learned over the years is that it's not me doing any of the healing that occurs at the clinic, not even 1 ounce of it. So I said learned, so that means I got there.
Yeah,
I
right.
didn't start
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips at one point, but it definitely has been, that's been the biggest part of it. And then, for me, even what we're talking about today, part of the story that we don't really talk about with the gifts that were brought was just how Jesus came to be there, and just the obedience Joseph had just to be, you know, told. I mean, an angel told him, so that was part of it. But a couple times, you need to leave right now and take your family and go where you have no financial anything, and just
no
go.
No promise.
Oh, and we're going to have your wife get pregnant. It's not yours, but don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, just the obedience in that is just mind-boggling to me, because if I were asked to get up, walk away from what I'm doing right now, would I do that? And as I was going through the story, I asked myself that question. I'm like, holy smokes, that's a really hard ask that God just put on Joseph and Mary, and they did it. And so for me, learning obedience is, I'm still not very good at it, but I'm getting better. And God, thankfully, forgives me and continues to remind me and bring people in my life that remind me. And so I am constantly working on being obedient right away, as soon as possible, to help restore the healing that God has for people, because He wants them healed. He does.
Yep. I'm convinced, for lack of a better way to say this, I'm convinced that obedience brings anointing, that you walk in the power of God to the extent that you walk in obedience to God. I believe that with everything in me. And so if we can narrow down the response time, we will see more and more of incredible intervention, miraculous moments. So how about you, Dr. Tom?
I'm trying to put this together because, I mean, when we mentioned gold, what struck me initially was, I believe silver is mentioned more in the Bible than gold. I believe we're referred more about refinement of silver and so on. And I think I've been told it has to do with the process. Silver is refined with intense pressure and intense. It's not the blazing heat of gold. We can't move through that as human. We wouldn't survive processing to gold. We can for silver and get polished. And so I think I heard that years back. And for me, from a faith aspect, I have to have faith there because I can't get through the pressure part of it. The quietest place for me where I'm closest to God is actually in my office. And it's weird because I don't really have an office. My office is the hospital and emergency department, but we actually have a functional office. And that's where I have to sit down and rest. And that's where I do most of my praying, you know, more if you look over a year, and reading and connecting and so on. And yes, I read as much as I can, but I constantly am talking to God. I mean, if you heard what's going on in my head throughout the day, people would be like, he's crazy, you know, because it's constant. It's just what's next, what's next. And I think when somebody read my book once, there was, I think at the end of the book, I talk about a common patient for us. We were called the ICU. And the question with the patient is, does her bowel need to come out? Is it dead gut or not? Do you operate or not? Or do you wait and ride this out? And people would say, I don't want a doctor that sits there and contemplates this. Get it done. And it's like, well, there are things to contemplate.
Right.
And so for me, walking out faith is just to practice to be quiet, to wait, like Dr. Troy says, for these prompts, because the prompts do come and the decisions are made, but it's awful to be obedient in waiting. when you're hard. Supposed to be. Yeah. Yeah.
In a crisis situation, and friends, if you don't understand right. what Dr. Tom is doing, he's an ER trauma surgeon in the throes of gang violence. As you said, people are screaming at you. You're removing bullets from people who are trying to kill each other. You really are in the throes of hell. I mean, of the worst of humanity, you're right there trying to put people back together who are trying to kill each other. And I just say that, friends, if you would remember Tom in your prayers, because fatigue is real. I mean, it's just real what you deal with. And I just honor you for what you... And as a man of faith, you're in there every day trying to make sense of, you know, what feels like just demonic activity so often, you know?
Yeah, and I thank you for saying, I always say one of the greatest benefits is I get Susie to myself, so to speak, once or twice a year. Because right when I walked in, it's like my time to have my psyche redone. Hmm. And as we started the conversation today, I said, I'm tired. I am worn out. I am exhausted. My teams are tired. My nurses, my hospital is worn out with this stuff. Hmm. You know, in the St. Paul area, we know the murders are up and everything, and stuff's happening, but we're just worn out. And that was the second thing about faith in my practice is we're up against some really critically acute impossible situations that I pray through. But what's interesting in the recognition of the gang world in these broken down children, there are times that the only thing I can do is pray with them. And it's amazing. I have yet in the number of years I've done it to not have one of these young men start crying.
Wow.
Because I'll walk in and pray. Because they are surrounded by faith. There is always a grandma praying. There's always a mom praying. There's always somebody there. But sometimes they're so caught up in that it is demonic. It is bigger than us. And sometimes just the prayer for the 20 seconds resets things enough where they get a little clarity.
I just had a thought. You know, as you said, Scripture talks more about silver than gold. Our faith is refined. We're refined in the refiner's fire. But there is a place where it says that our faith is more precious than gold. And then Jesus says, what you do for others, you do for me. And when you are in the pressure cooker, both of you, when we're all in the pressure cooker, and we maintain that God is good, and we maintain our faith in the hard things, that faith is more precious to God than gold. And I'm thinking of you, Tom, as you're in this ER with someone, and you have the courage because your faith prompts you to pray. What you're doing for them, you're doing for Jesus, and you're bringing gold because you're bringing your faith. I don't know. I just think, what if we really saw the beauty of our offering, again, Dr. Troy goes back to being a fragrant offering, how precious our faith is. And just as these wise men humbled themselves to bring gold to the little baby Jesus, we could do that every single day with the way that we live out our faith.
Yeah, I wish we could see what faith looks like, and we can't, but God can.
Yeah.
It's as tangible to him as an apple is to us. He can see it, and he can see the energy around it and what it actually can do in the healing process and just moving forward with honoring God himself. Mm. And so I wish we could see it right now, but then it wouldn't be faith.
Right, exactly. And yet, faith is our substance. If we can trust God when he says, I'm looking the earth over, looking to find faith, your faith is more precious than gold. You can't please me without faith. You want to bring an offering to God, whatever your circumstances right now, trust him. You know, our guest said, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where he talked about, I can't remember the word he was talking about, but he was translating a verse, believe on the Lord Jesus. He said, actually, that's the English language fails here because it's trust. He goes, a lot of people can give a mental assent or a nod towards something, but trust is a whole different thing. It's like believing what he said enough to trust him in what he said. And boy, I think as we walk in our faith, we will see a fragrant offering coming out of our lives. Yeah. So how about this? What if you share, we've got a few minutes to our last break. What's a story that comes to mind, a patient maybe that you helped, that God intervened, that maybe even still today you're like, wow, that happened. Do either one of you have one that comes to mind?
The first one, it's actually the reason why you asked me on the show. It always pops up first because it was the first time I ever prayed about something and then got an answer instantly. And it was the soldier that came from Iraq and had what was called locked-in syndrome, frozen stiff, and he'd been that way for 2 years. And they had called me a year into that condition, and what had happened was he had hit his head running into a tent, got a concussion, knocked himself out, and then found out that night while he was recovering that his newborn baby back home may not make it through the night. That physical
double trauma. Wow.
Yeah, double trauma, and that physical and emotional trauma led him to wake up the next morning frozen stiff. Every muscle was locked up, and he could talk, he could breathe, but he couldn't walk. He maybe could shuffle, couldn't sit up without support and help. And he'd been in that state for a year, and I had I got a phone call from them. They asked the wife, was back from the United States here, just said, do you have any ideas? And I said, it sounds like an area of the brain called the basal ganglia. It happens to be my favorite area of the brain. Sets the tone for muscles and emotions, and it sounds like it was hyperactive. And then the doctors kind of laughed at me. That's when I found out I was on speakerphone.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so they I don't think they believed me, so I asked the wife just to pick up the phone. I said, well, if I'm right, you can get a PET scan. It'll show on the PET scan increased blood flow to the area. And I didn't really think anything else of it. I said, it's expensive. They probably won't want to do it, but that's how you'll at least know. Another year went by, and the wife called back and said they just got the PET scan. It shows basal ganglia hyperactivity, so they want to send them to your clinic. And that's when I said, well, I knew what area of the brain it might be. I didn't say I knew how to fix it. Yeah. So instant prayer mode. So that's when I went into prayer, and God spoke to me. He said, check the cerebellum and don't stop. That's all he said. And in our world...
See, I would not known what to do with that.
Yeah, see, now check you got the answer. Check the cerebellum and don't stop.
All right. Okay.
So as assessing him, I started just to assess different reflexes, eye movements, and different things that are associated with cerebellar function. And he started moving his fingers. And then after stimulating that same area of the brain and a couple other areas over a couple hours, at one point he just jumped up off the table and walked out of the room. And after 2 years of not being right, and he clapped his hands and said, okay, what's next? And so that was awe-inspiring. That was we're crying. And that was my first real exposure. And you know, later on in years, I realized that God had been speaking to me a lot in the moment with patience to check things. And I'd jump around to something. I used to call it intuition before I knew God.
Wow, that's amazing. On the other side of break, Dr. Tom, I'd love to hear a story from you. And just need a minute, Kim, before we go to break. I just got to share this. I shared it with Dr. Troy earlier this week, but coming off of an event this last weekend, something I've been praying for 20 years, that God would heal through me, like that I'd be able to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. I mean, Jesus did it. He sent his disciples out to do it. I'm like, I care so much about the human condition, those who suffer with depression or chronic illness. And I have prayed over the years for, I've seen probably a handful of bona fide miracles, but just a handful with millions of prayers logged. So my batting average isn't that great. But this particular weekend, last weekend, we were at the airport early in the morning. And Kevin and I literally just got to the airport, and a man dropped right in front of us, dropped hard. He was about 45 years old, and it looked like he was having a stroke. His jaw kind of locked, and his eyes kind of were looking off. And Kev was just like, stay with me, and he's trying to talk with him. And I had my hand on his shoulder. We were kneeling on the ground, and I was just, you know, I might have been wrong because I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. But anyway, do you think it was a stroke? I suppose it's hard to know, Tom, with a, you know,
right, anyway,
his speech was slurring, and he looked like that. So I was praying that his body would not be damaged by the stroke, and just praying fervently. And we were there with him for about 10 minutes. Long story short, we get to our plane. The plane was late to our connection. We sprinted to our next plane. I hadn't slept the night before. I mean, I was just exhausted. By the time I got up to speak Friday night, I was so exhausted. But we did an altar call, and I mean, it still was a powerful night. But the next morning, I was tempted to doubt my offering because I thought, I can do better than I did last night. I did okay. Women were saying it was so good, but I'm like, I know it wasn't. I could do better, you know? So I was tempted to dissect that whole thing, and I thought, no, God receives imperfect offerings all the time. And it's more about what he does with what we give him than what we do, right? So I just, that morning, I got on my knees for all the women who are at the event. Just, Lord, bring healing, bring wholeness, bring redemption to these dear women. That night, Saturday night, I met with a pastor and his wife, and my hubby went out to dinner. And the pastor's wife, Kelly, said, I need to tell you what happened last night. When you called women forward and asked them, repeat after me, and I had them do these faith declarations, I reject rejection, I accept acceptance, I'm an heir of God, you know, and we were pounding them out. A woman tried to speak, and suddenly her words started to slur, and her face started to go numb, she was having a stroke. I never saw that, but they got her back. The ambulance picked her up. So they get to the hospital. The leaders all get to the hospital, and the doctors are going, code stroke, code stroke. She had a hot spot on her brain. Her face had already drooped, and she couldn't use half of her body. So it was things were in full motion, and her blood pressure was so dangerously high that they thought they could lose her. And the mom, this dear woman, whispers in her slur to the pastor's wife friend, if I die tonight, my girls will go in foster care. I can't die tonight. And so they were praying fervently for her. Well, once the doctors got her hooked up and kind of stepped aside and things felt like, you know, I don't know, or maybe they were in the room, I don't know, but she said to Kelly, I'm so mad at the devil because I wanted to make those faith declarations. I was having a moment with God and the devil stole it from me. And Kelly said, well, I have Susie's message on video. Let's just play it now and have you do them now. Through your slurred speech, let's have you do it. So she started to say, I reject rejection. I accept acceptance. I'm an heir of God. And her speech came back, and her face undrooped, and her movement came back in her body. Her blood pressure came down, and the doctors couldn't explain it. And they said, we're still keeping you overnight just to be safe. The next morning, they tested her, and she didn't show one sign of stroke. I marvel. That had nothing to do with me, but it shows me that God still does this stuff. And I'm thinking, what if every single Christian prayed? Let me be a conduit to healing. Let me be someone who lays hands on the sick and they recover. I mean, what if, you know, it wasn't just on your shoulders all the time, but all of us were mindful that there are suffering people all around us, and we still serve a God who heals, who saves, and redeems. I'm just, what if? What if? I don't know. All right, we've got 10 books to give away. When we come back, we're going to hear one of Dr. Tom Blee's stories. 5 Advent books, beautiful hardcover book, and 5 of Dr. Tom's book, How to Save a Surgeon, Stories of Impossible Healing. We serve a God who still heals. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you want in on the book drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. I'm going to see if I can keep these guys over just a few minutes past the 1 o'clock hour to get some bonus time, just because I see a few questions that have come in, and we'll maybe answer those on bonus time if they're okay with it. But we'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. We're having a fantastic conversation with two of my favorite guys, favorite doctors, Dr. Tom Blee, Dr. Troy Spurl. And we're talking about the Christmas story and what the wise men brought to Jesus, frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and really the healing properties in those, and just the idea that he is a wonderful counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and he is the God who heals. We were hoping to get to some questions, but the conversation has been so rich. We're going to see where we go. We've got a few health questions that we're going to hang on to after the live show and record some bonus material. So if you don't mind hanging on, we'll take a few calls. You'll have to be on hold till the end of the show, and then we'll pick up your call and just take a few extra minutes. So we've got 10 books to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. 5 Advent books, 5 copies of Dr. Tom Blee's book, How to Save a Surgeon, Stories of Impossible Healing. So I'd asked before the break, Dr. Tom, just in Dr. Troy just shared a story too. Is there a patient story that stands out to you where you're like still scratching your head about because God intervened through you in a way that's just one of your stories?
Yeah. I'm just in awe here, and I'm trying to move through this and see. And my mind is blank except for a Father's Day. And it probably is my own healing that had to happen, but there was a Father's Day, and I'm not going to say which one because there's families out there to know, but we had 3 deaths of fathers on Father's Day. So motor vehicle crashes where 3 fathers died.
Wow. In the same crash?
No. Oh. In the state. So
wow.
The other people involved were flown to us. So
wow.
My crew, ER, and my trauma nurses were dealing with 3 separate families that had all lost fathers.
On Father's Day.
Right. So they were injured patients, wives, children, families. And I remember leaving work that day, and we have amazing nurses there, and it's amazing what they do, but what they have to take home. And I went home and saying, how can this happen on Father's Day? How can you be, you know, the God of healing, the God of protection, the God of all this, and 3 fathers are gone today on the day they're all supposed to be celebrating? How do you even, you know, how can you do this? And I was sitting at night, and thinking as my this was a time I was trying to heal up for my own things that had been happening. We all know that story. I don't have to go back into it. But to even justify myself as a father and struggle to get my children back. But I remember just thinking and talking to God, and I thought the only way me as a father could leave my children would be when I am eye to eye with Jesus and meet God to say, wow, you are right. You have complete control of all of this. I don't even need to worry about my children. I know you're in control. I know you're watching this. I know you're taking care of this. I know in heaven right now I can just heal and enjoy and be in the most wonderful place. That sense came over me of God's really in control of this. And when we talk and we pray and everything we're talking about, he is listening. He is helping. He is here to heal. He is here to move us through. And, you know, how is that? As, you know, I, at that point, being the medical provider, knowing there's nothing I can do in that situation other than do what I'm trying to do to take care of the broken bones and things. But the healing that needed to happen for me that day was just settle down. You got help. Keep talking, keep praying, keep being obedient, keep being patient, all the things we talked about. Because I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's just, I love that story. I think that's so important because there are those highs and the lows. There are unanswered questions. It's hard to fathom why godly couples battle infertility and others get pregnant without even thinking about it. You know, there's so many things we don't understand. But I know from my own life and the countless people I've interviewed that I attribute my greatest spiritual education to the things I've suffered, to the times maybe God said no or not yet. We don't understand it. But the people I know in my circle would say I've grown most from the things that were hardest. And he is in control. Wow. Well, how, you know, we've got just a couple minutes left. How can we pray for you? You both are on the front lines helping so many people heal. What do you need?
For us, it's really just prayer for the right people to come alongside to help us do what God has planned for us. And so we're at a stage right now where we've got a pretty clear vision, and we're going to put God first, and people are going to know about that. There's going to be a boldness, and with that comes a little bit of an attack. And so just pray for God's plan for God to continue to work through the people and bring people alongside, and just prayers of gratitude for God's protection and what God has done already, because we know that it's happened.
It's just amazing to watch him bring into focus more and more clarity to what you guys are doing.
Yes.
And with more boldness does come more opposition, but I'd say, you know, also comes more power because
Absolutely.
You're stepping into the flow of
yes.
things, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know who my teammate is.
Come on. That's right. That's so good. How about you, Dr. Tom? How can we pray for you other than a really important vacation coming up?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the environment. I think it's twofold. I think it's help and strength and healing for all the people that, you know, from front door to back door of a trauma center. It's amazing how much happens, but how much people leave and are dealing with this on their own. I'm talking about people that work there, right? And it's getting harder and harder and harder. But I also think it's just the prayers for the community. I was involved by, I think 2 weeks ago, finally, in the west side of St. Paul, and I'm watching the people in the community come together from a grassroots level. And finally, not finally, they've been saying this, but in a new organized way, saying, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to accept what's happening in our community. And it was an amazing event. And that's where the prayers need to be. It's the strength of that grassroots level to come back and just say, we're not going to do this. And it's for that help. It's for that protection. It's for all of that.
Hmm. Pray for Dr. Tom and Dr. Troy's protection as well. Regarding the communities, one thing I pray constantly for our nation, for the church, for our local communities is Psalm 75:10. He says, for I will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. If you get a vision for what that would look like, cutting off the strength of the wicked, increasing the power of the godly, and seeing a revival break out, we need it. We need repentance to flow like a river all over the place, you know. And we just thank the Lord for both of you for what you do. And I pray you'll come back again. This was so rich. So good. Thank you and bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
appreciate you. So we're going to hang on for just a couple minutes, answer a few health questions, just a little bonus material that you will only get on the podcast. So subscribe if you haven't yet. Go to your favorite podcast player. Look up Suzy Larson, Middays with Suzy. You'll find it there. Thanks for tuning in. We love and appreciate you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Suzy Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.